Pick up your instrument. It's your mouth. Use it. It encourages others. Don't be afraid. There's torment and fear, as Mindy read. I had a call yesterday. Somebody called me in that fear, that torment. And you just sense that unrest in their soul, you know, just tormenting them, the paranoia they had, and then filling in the blanks, you know, and that's what paranoia is and fear is. And, you know, because you don't know of something, of what's going on, then you fill in all the blanks and the endless possibilities, and you're on that merry-go-round. That's torment. That's H-E-L-L. You will do that forever. You need to come under the love of God, be transformed, and allow that fear, as many read, to be cast out, because perfect love casts out fear. You just raise your hand if you got something to share. I'm going to keep going this morning. Maybe the teaching will stimulate you. It'll be a short one this morning, but coming from me, but you guys shared something very powerfully today, and that encouraged the body. That wasn't just, okay, we did that, now let's get to the real thing. That was the real thing. That's the body of Christ. That is the music. That's the symphony playing. So that's an awesome thing. The love of God, the measuring stick for love that he uses is in chapter 15, verse 13. So yeah, God has a ruler. He has a measuring stick, a measuring tape, whatever. He's a carpenter for love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is where we left off last week. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. Greater love. So love can be measured. Greater love. There's a greater love. It means it can be measured. There's levels of love, intensities of love. There's a measurement of love. And he's saying this is the greatest. This is where you're pulling the measuring stick or that tape, and you hit the end there. You know, so that's the fullness of the expression of who God is was done on the cross. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. Exactly what we're celebrating today is that Jesus laid his life down for you. You need to take it personally. Poisonally. You need to take it personally. You need to take it privately, and we need to take it together as a group. There's the element of taking it personally. There's a time of examination, and it's a beautiful honesty before God. Because there is no judgment, there's no condemnation. You're under the blood, and you can be honest before God. Have quiet time. Lord, these are the things. I'm opening my heart to you. I'm allowing you into the fullness of my heart. And there, we're all doing that together, coming together on a Sunday, coming together in a building, recognizing that, doing that together is part of what the church is as a whole. Greater love. This particular trilogy of chapters that we've been working through, 14, 15, and 16, are extremely read, and they're extremely about love. The bookends of them are about the thing that's beating in your chest, figuratively speaking, but really the spirit within you, your heart. Your heart. The center of your being. It's not really physical. It's about letting your heart not be troubled, not allowing it to go into fear and filling in the blanks. Well, you know, you've done that before. Have you done that? I probably did it this morning. I probably did it yesterday. Well, what if this happens and this happens? And why did she say that? And then filling in the blanks. Why do we do that? That's the old nature. That's why. It's the sin nature. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. This is chapter 15, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, just in case you wondered, he wants to make this clear. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's a great thing, because everything, including our salvation, is dependent on him, even the choosing. Even the choosing. And people get confused with that, and they get like, well, God doesn't choose some people and then they start going in that direction. And that's because of the two-dimensional thinking that we have. We get stuck in some weird thoughts like that. But it's the essence of it is about grace. Because as soon as you put one little tiny hair of pride into the ointment of grace, it's defiled, it's ruined. So the purity of grace is very important. And God keeps it so pure and clean. Why? Because we need to be delivered from pride. We need to be delivered from fear. We need to be washed of our sin. And there's only one cure of that, and that's the grace of God. That even to this extent, that I didn't even choose him, that he chose me. Do you see where pride is demolished in that statement? Well, I chose Jesus. Well, I finally got my act together. I looked at all the facts and I chose Jesus. That would be great if pride wouldn't enter in, but pride enters in that kind of thing. So God made grace beautiful, perfect, pure, and clean, 100% grace. He's even chosen us. We're responders. In the same way we receive him, we walk in it. We'll find this and discover this throughout our life, that the work that he began in us, he is faithful to complete. We're simply responding to this work that's going on in our heart. We're yielding to this saving grace that's working inside of us every single day. The words of faith go like this. They're yielding, they're letting, reckoning, believing. Those are words of faith. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. This is a tough couple of verses. We don't like this particular. I'll tell you, I could speak for most people in here. We don't like these couple of verses that are coming up. If you were of this world, the world would love his own. We want to be included. We want to be loved. It doesn't feel good to be hated. This is a difficult thing for us to accept. But there it is in red, right in the center of this trilogy of the issues of our heart. Is this love of the world that we're not to pursue it? That's the broad way, folks. There's many that go that way. Pursuing the love of the world, popularity and fame, to be well loved and liked by the people of this world, the systems of this world, and not rock the boat. That is not following Christ. If you were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world sort of doesn't like you. Nope. The world kind of tolerates you. Nope. The world hates you. That's a tough reality. Don't feel alone in that, because I'm with you. And she's with you. She's with you. He's with you. The world will hate you. You'll hear the rhetoric, and it's effacing these days, where it was hidden before, and now it's coming right out in the mainstream. The hate for the believers, the ones that follow Christ, the hate is becoming more evident. Is he telling us to concern us? Is he telling us? No, this whole thing is that your heart would be pure and right before God, that you would have that right heart. Because it's a trap. It's a snare. When the world hates us, we get, it's an old word, offended. And he's going to talk about that in 16. Let's get there. It's a very important lesson. Roger works with traps all the time, and that word for offense is actually the lure, that bait that sets right on the trigger point. It's that trigger point with a bait on it. It's that part of the trap. That's the word that's used for being offended. We're going to get to that. Let's move there. Very important lesson today. Folks, why are Christians propane trucks going down the road with explode signs on them? Why are we like that? Why are we easily offended when the truth is right before us, declaring that the world will hate us? But yet we're trying to undo the truth. Well, I'm the exception to that. I'm going to be loved by the world. And then we get offended when the world hates us. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Put that on your promises of God list. There's a lot of them in the Bible. That's one of them. We can rejoice in that persecution, for great is our reward. He would tell from the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. Great is our reward. Exceedingly glad we can be when that persecution comes, because that, as Gretchen was sharing about, that's the test that we are of Him. That's one of the things, that's evidence of it. We can be rejoicing and exceedingly glad. They will also persecute you. Promise number 57 in the Promises of God book. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Same issue Jesus had, not believing that you were of God. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak, they have no covering for their sin. So we are responsible for the things that we hear and are revealed to us. If you've heard the gospel and you reject it, it's not a good thing. He's telling us there in verse 22, if I have not given us this truth, they would have no covering. But now they have no covering for their sin because they've heard it. He that hates me hates my Father also. Very important verse there. He that hates me hates my Father also. That's that entanglement of the Father and the Son. And he's brought that down to our relationships here. You can take that into the marriage. He that hates me hates Gretchen also. Just so you know that. I've had that told to me before. We don't like you, but we like your wife. Well, you just said you don't like her either, because we're one. He that hates me hates my Father also. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He just said that a chapter ago here. We need to love Jesus in all of those three areas. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. Some will say, well, I like the life of Jesus. I like to be around church and the events of church and the fellowship and the different things. And that's the life to me. But the truth, I'm not going to surrender in. It's about my opinion, and I'm on the throne there. I can't follow Jesus there. Some will say, you know, I like the truth, and it's all about the truth, but I'm not going to worship. You have no life. You're like a dead rock. It's all about truth. And I've heard that before. It's like, you know, I'll come to church about 15 minutes late because it's just the worship going on, and then I want to hear the truth. You know, a couple of people have told me that before. You know, not in this particular church. Don't get offended, Gretchen. But I've definitely heard that before. We need to love Jesus on all three of those levels, that he is the way. I'm going to follow Jesus, not my way. I'm not going to lean on my understanding. I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways. I need to love him as the truth. That means to get off the throne of my opinions and put him above what he says. And just simply yield to it. And I need to love him as life and believe that everything that he has called life needs to be what I call life. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Responsibility comes with that revelation. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. There you see the exchange going between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Jesus just told us about the things that he declares are of the Father that he gives to us. And now you're going to see the Holy Spirit that gives testimony to Jesus. So you see that authority there again, that trilogy, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the tie of love and the relationship of love they have has a lot to do with submission. Submission is an important thing. In a church body, we're to submit one to another. We're to submit one to another. That submitting going on, we're esteeming others higher than ourselves. That's part of submitting. And then love flows. Love cannot flow without it. It's perversion. If it's something else, if it's democracy, that kind of thing where my opinion and your opinion and then the splitting going apart. No, there's a submitting one to another and esteeming higher than another. My love for Gretchen just went through the roof when I finally started esteeming her higher than myself. Took a couple years. Took a while. Still remember the traffic light. I still remember that. God, I want to love her more than I am now. I know I need to be. He says, Paul, he took me to that verse of Paul that made you something common, and she is something of gold. You know, that's the medicine that I needed to hear. That all of a sudden I saw her as gold and not the thing that was in common, and I was gold. You know, so he needed to flip that in my mind. And I went and got her a guitar within the next few weeks, you know, and started investing in her, you know. Yeah, I was a creep, okay. Praise God. So the Comforter coming, thank you for the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of God here in his church body right now. Not on the outside necessarily, but on the inside. That's the unique thing of what Christ did, what this blood that he dripped on the cross did. It made a pathway for the Spirit of God to indwell man where it couldn't before. God could not indwell man in the sinful state, but he made us right in that place. He made our heart a vessel now that can contain the Holy Spirit. Now rebirth happens, regeneration happens. We become this child of light, all by the right and the power that came through Christ. There was no teaching that could ever do it. Jesus could have taught down here for 50,000 years. Great sermons. Beautiful. Just giving us truth upon truth. And it wouldn't change the heart of man. It had to be his death. It had to be the death of Christ, him loving us, that would flip our heart on its heels and we would be revived. And you also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. How do you know how the Bible came about? Why were they chosen to write the Bible? And how did the Bible come together? Well, you see two important elements right there in verse 26 and 27, the giving of the Holy Spirit that leads them into all truth. In verse 27, the people that actually witnessed Jesus, that physically saw him speak, was here with him. So you see those two elements together, the Holy Spirit and the people that witnessed Jesus, and then the giving of the Bible. That's what we have before us today. Chapter 16, we'll end there on the lesson on offense, and we'll go into communion today. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Oh boy. There's a good word study for you. Roger would appreciate that one as being that the baited trap. This fascinated me because what is the bait on this trap for us? Do you want to get offended? Does anybody really want to be offended? It's twisted, but yes, you do. If you didn't, you wouldn't be. There is the cheese that's on this snare, this trap, the bait that's on this trap of us getting offended, us flaring up, us feeling this violation is the judgment that we have, the sin nature that we have. What came through the disobedience in the garden, the sin that Adam did, the Adam bomb, we were elevated to that place of being Elohim, being judges. And because of that, we are very easily offended. Very easily offended. We're those gas trucks going by with all those warning signs on them. Don't light a match near that person. Don't look at him the wrong way, man. You walk on rice paper around that person. That ain't good. Jesus says so that you should not be offended. Why? Because the world's going to hate you, he's telling you. And I'm preparing your heart against the offense. Because what will happen is if you get offended, you will apostate. It's a fancy word for growing cold. Getting snuffed out, your love growing cold. It's going to happen church-wide as evil increases. It says the church is love is going to grow cold. That's the apostasy. That's the falling away. Not this church! Not while I'm here! I'm going to be fighting against it for my own heart and yours. Right till the calling above and the trump calls us up. And when our heart's beating pure and right, not being a bunch of offended with our arms crossed and teed off about everything. The bait that's on that word, that snare that we go for. There's something we're reaching for there. And then we're trapped. That thing springs upon us and now we're offended. We're stuck in a prison of unforgiveness and offense. We're ticked off. Now we're ineffective. Satan's got us. We took the bait. We passed judgment on something. And something violated our opinion. Something violated our way of thinking. It's time to allow the gas out of that truck. Don't do that literally, please. Be diffused this morning from being so easily offended. Let's take a look at for our communion, 1 Corinthians 13. And then 2 Corinthians 1. And we'll have our communion here today. The teaching really is about having that right heart and being protected against the fears, the things, the ills of the heart. And love does that. Love casts out the fear. So let's look at love. Let's look under the hood of this thing. Jesus will say in just a few verses from now on, John, he'll say, you know, this is about as much as you could take. In fact, if we read forward a little bit, he says, how come nobody's asking me any questions anymore? There's a bunch of deer in the headlights looking at me. Jesus is saying to them, you know, because they got offended. The things that he's telling them, that you know, that he's talking about, going to the cross and the world hating you, they're just like, and now he's going to say, you know, this is the Holy. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring you into the rest of these things. You guys can't handle this right now. I'm just giving you enough. And the rest of the story is in Corinthians here. It's in Galatians. It's in Ephesians. It's the Thessalonians. It's all over the place. So the Holy Spirit being released, the church was born. The rest of the Bible was given to us. These things that Jesus would say that they couldn't bear now, we have access to. 1 Corinthians 13. Sandwiched in between the gifts of the Spirit that's using the gifts that God has given you is this thing is love. Because he said if you got detached that, if you build houses good, if you play music good, if you can do this good, if you preach good, I can preach good and go right to hell. And people could get saved. Through my preaching, through the use of the gospel, people could get saved. And I could go to hell. What's wrong with that story? What's wrong with it is love is missing. If I have a corrupt heart, I'm doing it for some other reason. I'm speaking with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it says in chapter 13. I'm becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That would be an orchestra that is not playing good music. And though I have the gift of prophecy, teaching forth the word of God, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I can wow you guys with some great stuff up here. Understand all the mysteries. Whoa! And I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Watch this, folks. Whammo! But I have not love. I am, well, I'm pretty good. Well, I'm halfway there. Well, I'm taking steps. I am nothing, man! I'm zilcho, goose egg! Nothing! Sorry for spitting on you. Nothing! I am nothing! There's nothing there!
You're talking about moving mountains, mystery speaking, and wowing the masses, and great oration without love. It's nuts! Don't become offended. Don't be a gas truck going around waiting for someone to tick you off so you can just spend the rest of your day saying, that's what ticked me off. I was having a good day until that happened. That's not for the believer. That is not an option for us. Don't take the bait. It's the same apple that was on the tree. It's the same fruit, that the forbidden fruit that they reached for. It's still there. It's still there waiting for us to reach. I am the one that's on the throne. I'm going to take that bait and become offended.
Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned. You name it. But you separate love from that. All those things, you can run planes into towers, you can give your life. But if you remove love, it's nothing. You are nothing. I am nothing, it says there in verse 2. It profits me nothing. I am nothing. It is nothing. So there's another good study on nothing for the professors that get together and have symposiums on what nothing is. There it is. You take love away from anything and it becomes nothing. So the true dark matter of this universe is the absence of love. True hell is the absence of love. The presence of God, the very substance of God. You can live in torment and fear, or you can receive the love of God right now and have that cast out. It's your choice. Today is the day of your salvation. Love suffers long. Love suffers long. It's great when there's emotions tied with love. We call it joy. When you have love and emotional excitement tied together, it's called joy. When you take the emotions away from it and it's just making a decision, making the right decision even when the emotions aren't there with it, it's called long-suffering. It's still love. It's still God working through you. Love suffers long and is kind. Can you suffer long and be kind? Yes, you can when you have the true agape working in you. Not the corn puffs and the junk from the world. Not the Oprah Winfrey stuff. The true love of God, what's there on the cross, can suffer long and be kind. Father, forgive them. After being spit on. After his back is not even there anymore. Hurling insults on him. The one piece of the article of clothing being torn apart. And say, Father, forgive them. I don't get it, God, but I want it. I want to be more and more like you. I want to be yielding more and more to you, God. Love suffers long and is kind. It envies not. It doesn't vaunt itself or be puffed up. We'll take a look at the pufferfish out back. It doesn't behave itself unseemly or seek its own. And here's the one about offense. It is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Take a word study on that, verse 5. They added that word easily. That is just the word provoked. Love is not provoked. There is no explosive fuel inside of that truck. It's a milk and honey truck. You know what I mean? There's nothing there except the flow of the love of God. Let's sing a song this morning and allow God to remove that offense. Remove the fuel of you becoming offended and have a perfect heart right towards him. Lay it right out. Lay your heart right out to him this morning. He laid his heart out for you. It's time to meet him there at the cross. Let's all do that this morning as you hear the music playing. Lord Jesus Christ, take it away. I no longer want to be attracted to that bait of being offended. Lord God, remove that from my life. Make my heart perfect towards you. You bled and died for me, Jesus Christ, and I love you, Lord God. I love that you are the way, and I want to follow you. I love that you are the truth. I want to hear you.
I love that you are the life. I want to celebrate you and what my body does and where my thoughts go. Be a representation and a reflection of you, God. We pray a blessing now over all of us, Lord, including myself, Lord Jesus, of your Holy Spirit. The promise of the Comforter would descend upon us right now and fill us, baptize us afresh as we take part in this holy thing, Lord Jesus Christ, called communion. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
Because it shows a representation of different lives there. You might have a fisherman's coat. You might have a, whatever, a nurse's coat. You might have, you know, different occupations. And the different people that were gathered there on that day that were just laying down the palm branches and showing their respect and honor for the Messiah to come. And they're eating lowly, as riding on a donkey. Hold of an ass. Okay. So, yeah. The little ones can walk over the coast. Go ahead, Asher. You can walk towards Grandpa.
Can you walk
over? This is TJ, right? This other one?
Yep.
TJ's, just like TJ's doing. TJ, you're doing great. Come on, bud. You got shy. That's okay. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
The army crawl.
We had no rehearsal on this, so anything can happen.
Go figure.
There you go, Ellie. This is a beautiful way of submitting to Christ, laying your life down. It's a symbol this morning that we're doing on this Palm Sunday. You guys enjoy the day. God bless you. We pray a powerful blessing over all the heads here tonight, all the hearts today, all the hearts beating. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hey, Paul, I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah,
I
was like,
is this there? Yeah, there would be no band out there.
So when you're first learning an instrument, it's the hardest thing to do because you're given an instrument and they're like, oh man, like you see all these other people playing this instrument and I want to be so perfect. So when you start playing the instrument, you're like, why can't I be that perfect? Why can't I play all of these notes? Why can't I strum a guitar the proper way? Why can't I make a B flat on a flute? It's like the hardest thing, but then you just have to pull through it, it's day by day, step by step. And if you teach yourself the right way, if you have a good teacher, then you're gonna get there eventually. It's not the easiest thing in the world. I mean, I couldn't read notes for crap. I couldn't. And then I had a good teacher, well, not a good teacher, but like a good friend that helped me, because she knew how to read notes, and she got me to do it.
Awesome.
And now I'm reading notes fluently, and it's like, it's amazing. And if you relate that to God, God is a conductor. He's guiding you through, and he's your teacher. And it's like, it all flows perfectly.
Love it. And you come alongside when somebody's missing notes too, so they don't give up.
Yeah.
I can relate to that a little bit too, that I've been blessed to have James come over and work with me on a couple of songs that we're working on it. Because, I mean, I'm learning, and it's, you know, when I do it myself, it don't sound like much, but when we put it together,
it sounds great.
It sounds good. You know, so hopefully we'll be blessed for that, to glorify the Lord.
Yeah. Paul, we're going to remind me of something we read out of Theologians on Monday. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as the fact we are doing.
All right, exactly. Yeah.
Adding a thing to you about the band. I didn't want to be like her sister, like she would try the flute and then give up. I told Mr. Bear the first day in fifth grade, right, to join the band. I'm like, I'll be your number one bass player until I graduate school. Because I was so committed to the guitar at that time. So I had past reference of notes on the bass like that. And he was already losing bass left and right. We at first it was three, and then it dropped down to one, only me, and then now it's me and Josh are the two oldest bass players in the school, which is only the eighth graders. So,
praise God.
Yeah.
Keep it on.
I did want to say one thing. I was there too, and the conductor left. And to me, that's like Jesus. You know, he's not here, but the band all played together, and they all did
without
what
seeing him.
Supposed to do.
Amen. All right.
She walked off, and I don't know why, but it was really cool.
That is another, yeah, something else. Yeah. Following Jesus without physically being able to see him is called faith. Praise God. Nobody fell apart. Kept going. Amen. Right.
Well, when I was grounded and I had to work things back, I realized I got so used to the room being empty, it felt like it was full. So, man, I know you're laughing, bro, but it wasn't full with possessions, more filled with the word of God. I was more open, I was more aware. Taking away all that possession gave me time to realize, hey, I had all this freedom to read the Bible. And it's kind of, you know, it kind of comes together real easily. And also another thing with my music. I all know I play guitar, but I usually kind of depend on it. I kind of found out last week, I don't need to kind of play or sing well. It's just comes out naturally from God, because there's some songs that I don't know even how to sing it, and then it just comes out of my mouth because I know it's Him. Every time it happens, I'm like, that's it, got me.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Always enjoy hearing y'all sharing.